Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
Today we're going to be, we've finished our Jesus for Life series. This week I'm going to talk about the church, and it's just a one-off teaching. I'm calling it the beautiful church. The story you hear over and over is how I came to know Jesus. You've heard it so many times because I tell my story over and over. Hopefully you're doing the same with your story. You just don't have to be up front all the time. But I'm hoping you know your story, you're telling your story, because that's really a powerful thing. And so, you know, but you've heard my story over and over about how 6-7 hours my brother spent time with me, went into Sunday morning, and I finally committed my life to Jesus. And it was this radical situation where I, you know, went to sleep about 3:30 in the morning. What most of you don't know is the next morning, which I don't talk as much about, is my brother wants me to go to church because it's Sunday. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they really, this Jesus thing is really serious. And so I woke up, and I think I drove my own car so I could escape early if I needed to. And we went to church. And this is what's interesting. This was the very first time this church had met. It was meeting in an American Legion hall that was about as ugly as you can get. It was in July, so it was about as hot as you could get. And I have these memories of this moment of walking into this ugly American Legion hall, and there's about 80 to 100 people. They had this, they said, we're going to break into groups ahead of time, which really freaked me out. So I'm out in a outside under a shade tree with these old people. They must have been in their 30s. And they're around, and they began talking about this kind of thing where the Holy Spirit came, and he talked to them, and how they responded, and all these things happened. And it was so strange, because for the first time, I thought, that happened to me last night. I remember thinking, I can't believe I'm enjoying being here with these old people. And I sat there, and I that whole morning, and it was really strange, as they said, now we're going to meet tonight, too. And I thought, oh my goodness gracious. So we're going to meet tonight. But what's funny is, I was kind of glad to hear that. And I remember, I'm weird, I have these scenes of my life. I'll be interested when I get to heaven and see if they're correct or not, but I think they're correct. They're just vivid in my mind, and I don't know why I have them, but I don't remember a lot of those things about this morning, but I remember this under the tree, and I remember pulling away from the parking lot. I still smoked then, so I remember lighting up a cigarette, pulling away in my Mustang, and starting to drive off, and I thought a couple things. I wonder if God's going to make me quit smoking. That's one thing. And then the second thing I thought was, I want to come back tonight. And I'm telling you, this was crazy. These people, I mean, they did not know what cool was at all. Like if you wanted to be culturally relevant, they would have been against you, right? The songs were not what I would like to hear. They're kind of religious. And I wanted to come back. And I thought, man, this must be God or something. And I came back that night. And it was a little more casual, which I like that better. And I remember they sang these uncool songs. I can remember exactly where I was sitting. I could walk in that building, I'd sit right down there. I was sitting there. I was tired because I was so sleep deprived, but I remember sitting there. And I could feel God's presence come on me. And I felt peace like I'd never felt before. I thought, this is amazing. And I looked around, the best way to describe it, as I was sitting there, I felt love this way and this way. Do you know what I mean by that? Both ways at the same time. It's this moment I'll never forget. That was my first church experience. And by God's grace, for 47 years, I've been fully committed to the local church. I have been in showing up when it's open, arranging my work schedule so I never had to go to church. I could always go to church, always prioritizing, turning on jobs. I prioritize Sunday. Some people might say, that's kind of legalistic. It may be, but it sure weren't. I always have been in small groups, always, where you could go to that next level. I've always, you know, participated and been a part and served. I've always, since I, for 47 years. Now, you think about this, is that I would say, though, the church, Jesus and his church, has transformed life in ways I cannot express. I cannot express it. I love the church way more than I did when I first walked in. And people, well, if you ask people, say, well, could you describe the church? They would not say this. Oh, it's beautiful. They would tell you so many ugly things about the church. You know, I'm a pastor. I not only know my own ugly things, I know everybody else's ugly things that they've told me. All right? And what's interesting is when people are telling me, they get, you know, since I'm the pastor, they begin kind of cracking the door and open up a little bit. And they start telling me, like, you won't believe this happened to me in the church. And inside, I can hardly keep a straight face because I'm thinking, I've been on the inside track for 45 years, and I hate to say this, but I could top anything you give me 10 times. And they've left because the youth pastor was a hypocrite. And I'm thinking, whew, it could get worse. You know, the church is a spot in which that it's had some ugly things. You look at its history with racism and hatred and self-righteousness and greed and sexual infidelity and hypocrisy and sexual abuse and murder and even wars. It's not a pretty picture. But yet the church, by God's design, is the expression of Jesus on the earth. The church is, I know we hear these terms a little bit, take them in, it's the body of Christ. It is described as a spiritual house that's being built in which God dwells. It is a people. It is a family of brothers and sisters with an eternal bond. And it's filled with humans who are just as dysfunctional as you are. And it will always be earthen vessels carrying the treasure. I don't know about you. Have you ever thought, are you ever amazed at how God has stayed with you? The ways that you've done things intensely and your sinfulness, your selfishness, and he just stays with you. Where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. He is always there, and he always loves me. In my worst, horrible moments, he loves me just like he did when I was doing great. And so we can understand how we don't understand, but we try to take in how he loves someone who's so dysfunctional, and we have to realize this, that's the church too, right? It's a bunch of people who've had God's grace in their life and has been brought in undeserved favor. They've brought into this relationship, into this place of becoming his children. And God loves his church. Think about it. Jesus birthed the church. He's building the church. He is completely committed to the church. He will never abandon the church. It is his children. It is his body. And it is actually so intimate, and he loves it so much he calls it his bride. And as we're in the church, this is the vehicle in which he comes in and transforms us and purifies us and sets us free and heals us. It's the vehicle of church. When we come to Jesus, we don't sell this enough. Maybe we're afraid it'll chase people away. I don't know. When we come to Jesus, we are joined to him for an eternity. That's it. We're locked in. We're adopted. We're brought into this family. But at very same moment, we have now become a part of a family for the rest of our life, and which is eternity. We are joined to what the Bible calls the household of God, to the children of God. In Romans, it talks about us receiving the Spirit. We talked about in Acts of adoption. In Peter, it says, now, once you weren't a people, but now you are a people. You are God's chosen people. In Galatians, it says, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are the household of faith. Loving Jesus and your commitment to Jesus cannot be separated from loving the church and your commitment to the church. Now, in Galatians, it talks about how the church is. It's a family. It rejoices together. It's a part of each other. It says, I don't need you. It says, you can't say that. You're wrong if you're saying that. You do need each other. It's a place in which that we open our lives, we rejoice, and we weep with each other. We have these things in which that we make sure that we're to love those in the church as our one of, you know, we love God and we love them and we love the world. But it always says, above all, especially those people who are the household, those people who have also believed, those are the people that we're called to love. Now listen to this verse. Just take this verse in. This is a verse when I was a new Christian, just rattled my world. Now listen to this. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates his fellow believer, that person is a liar. For we don't love, if we don't love people that we can see, how can we love God who we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. I was actually in this building a long time ago, back in the office with some other pastors. And I remember this one pastor, he just was not doing good. I respect his honesty, and he wasn't joking around. He said, guys, I just got to tell you, I love Jesus. I just don't like Christians. And I said, you're a liar. No, I didn't say that. No, I didn't quote that scripture to him. I said, but what I understood, I empathize with him, right? Don't you guys empathize with that statement? But like, that's not going to work. I know American Christian message of church is just really hard to go against, right? American church is what you attend. You attend and you decide what the payback is. Are there people like me enough to stay here? Do my kids get along? I'm not saying these are not factors. I'm just saying I'm being a little bit raw here. This is how church is. American church is a spot in which you say, I want to get involved. I want to give some money maybe. But then I want to make sure that the payback's good. And if it's not doing good, if my needs aren't being met, or maybe someone really treats me like a jerk, you know, just, you know, maybe if someone hurts me or offends me, the good news in America, I just can go shopping for a different church. You know, it just, and this is what we've created. It's not, as a pastor, I don't say, oh, those crazy people. I think, oh, we've created a consumer-based church. You can go in to services of churches and never speak to a person and leave. Now, I kind of like those churches sometimes. Debbie and I used to dream about sometimes in the worst parts of church. We never would dream about leaving the church. We just wanted to go to an amazingly organized mega church that we could sit there and just chat with the people in our row and then go home. You guys have never thought of that, have you? But that's the normal American church. But it's not the beautiful church. There's good things in it, but it's not beautiful. And don't get me wrong, this COVID here has raised my interest in online. I've watched so many church services. I've visited my friends online who are having church services. I've been around the world. I've watched some church services. There's some good church services there. I didn't know how bad a preacher I was. Wow, this is, woo! There's some good church. And the worship, oh my gosh, produced, right? I mean, I'm with you sometimes. I want to go into a well-produced, like, perfect worship, crank it up with perfect sound and have that amazing teacher and say, why would I go back to Vineyard? I'm there sometimes. I enjoy it. But that is not church. And it's certainly not the beautiful church I'm talking about. Today I want us to see the beautiful church. I want us to get a vision for what a beautiful church looks like. What is so good that God has in this thing of being a part of his body. And I'd like you, if you want to turn to Acts 2, starting in 41 through 47, is we're actually kind of followed up what we talked about, even though it's in the series, it follows up what we just have been talking about. It describes the church after the Holy Spirit has come. And these people have not had much training. But if you look at Acts 2, 41 through 47, you see a beautiful church. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs performed by, and there were many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying God's favor, the favor of all the people. And the Lord added their number daily. I love that church. If you look at that, there is such instruction in this, because this is the time the Holy Spirit is strong, so we can see the flesh is getting pushed out, and we can see the beauty of what the church God is wanting to have in this time. Even though this is a very unique time, it's still a really good model to say, what is the church and what should it be? First off, I think the big question is, those who accepted the message, who accepted the message? It wasn't a lot of people who were like each other. It was this diverse group of people who weren't even connecting before, now are connecting at levels that are crazy. People who even had different languages are connecting. It's important to remember that as they look at this, is that these people, these 3,000, were a huge mix. And now they're doing life together. And then we see that they devote themselves to the teachings, fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. You know, this thing of teaching, they devote themselves, that spot is they just constantly kept going for this stuff. they made it a priority. That's what they were going for. They were devoted to this thing. They attended to it constantly, is that what that word means. They attended to it constantly, seeking truth. I mean, if you can imagine this, they had just heard Peter speak this sermon in a way that they thought, whoa, and it transformed their life because they heard the word and they accepted the message of this teaching. And guess what? I want more of that. I want God to talk to me. I want him to talk to me about things that's in my heart. And so they were just looking for ways that they could get around the apostles and hear scripture and teaching. And then there's the second one. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Now, fellowship that just doesn't sound what it is. It's the word fellowship is koinonia. It's very hard to describe, but the best way I put it is, it's being brought together because of something greater than yourself, and you became a place that you began participating in experiencing the love of one another and God all at the same time, this place called koinonia, this fellowship. It's just this place in which that it's hard to put in words. It's that you cannot get koinonia without Jesus. And they're experiencing this way of connection and fellowship and community. And then they were breaking bread. They were sharing meals together. Isn't that a good news that Jesus loves to eat? I mean, he loves to have meals together, to connect, And they probably had communion mixed in with many of those times. They would gather in each other's homes. And then they prayed for one another. They're just praying all the time. Praying, probably interceding for their friends, wanting them to come to know Jesus. They were praying for one another for healing. God was moving in this particular powerful way. They were filled with worship and gratitude. You saw what we see later in Acts when they got afraid. They would get together and they just pray for courage and boldness. I mean, they just were praying all the time. And then it closes up. I love it. It says, everyone is filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. You know, this word here, it's like it's almost, it's reverence. It's this place of the power and authority of God was strong. And they were awed by it. They were awed that these normal humans, signs and powerful works that no human could do was happening around them as a regular part of their church. Now, and then there's this place in which that all the believers had everything in common. They sold things to pay for each other's, you know, say, hey, you need help, I'll sell some land, I'll give you this thing. It's just all common to them. That really strikes in the American heart, doesn't it? But it's this place in which you understand what I have is not mine. I steward all I have for the glory of God. And my God is my provider. My source is not this. And that, when the Holy Spirit comes, you begin seeing that more clearly. And you become extremely generous. And you begin, these people are having compassion on one another, not just in talking to them, not just praying for them, but actually giving them what they needed because they were in need. You know, and it closes up, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes, and together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. In other words, there was so much grace and kindness that leaked out to people. Go, man, I can feel it among that group. And it attracted him and it gave him favor with people. And then I love it. The result was more people came in. It drew people in and they received the message of Jesus as well. And so in our church, it's the same. The way that we experience this Jesus is through these things. Now, it's this place that the Holy Spirit comes and we personally begin experiencing Jesus as we read Scripture. As we listen to Scripture, we can start hearing Him speak to us. As we get to a place that we experience it by just hanging out with each other. Things happen when we are around one another. There's this place of fellowship that we experience who Jesus is through one another. We get to this place of where we're praying and we're worshiping and we're experiencing Jesus. We experience Jesus because in the church, God comes and does things that are impossible naturally, and we get to watch it. And we go, man, God's with us. And we experience Him doing things that we know are completely impossible. It causes people, the church, when the church is beautiful, it's generous. It's not greedy. It's open-handed. It's hospitable. It's inviting people in. It's keeping the door open and welcoming those people who are on the outside and having deep stuff within the people who are there. Amen. And the other would be is that if we look at how did this happen? It just happened because the Holy Spirit was in them and they just began meeting and being around each other. And sharing meals together, and learning, and being a family. Now, I'm at this kind of interesting reflective stage, right? People are tired of it, I know, but I'm old. I'm reflecting a lot. Looking back at my life, what brought fruit, what didn't bring fruit? I look back, some stuff I believe actually brought some pretty bad fruit. Trying to change that, or I've changed that. Other things brought some pretty good fruit. But there's certain things that would say, man, all in. This has produced more good things in my life. I can't even put it into words. And what I'd say, this truth has been the best belief I've ever had. That is true. I cannot grow in love for Jesus if I'm not growing in love for his church. I cannot grow in my love for Jesus unless I'm growing in love with his church. For all these years, I've just caught on that when I meet, whether two people or a group like this, something happens. Every time. I mean, sometimes I don't feel it right away. Sometimes it's boring. Sometimes I'm all over the map. But even that God uses. Sometimes it has conflict. Even that God uses. But there's something that happens when we just show up and be ourselves and press in to our brothers and sisters. I can look around this building, and I'm telling you, it's confusing now that we switch things around. But anyway, I could walk around with my journal, and I could say, here's this significant thing happened to me. Here's this significant thing happened. And I could name most all of you. Here, parking lot, patio, bathroom. I've not ever found too much in there. But about everybody else, I mean, I could go around, I'd say, God did something. It wasn't just during the service. It was after in the parking lot. It was much of it was in homes. Your homes and my homes and people's homes out in the patio. At conferences. And it could have been two people or it could have been 4,000. But when people gather together and are focused on Jesus, God does things. I can't grow in my love for Jesus if I'm not growing in my love for the church. Imagine, and parents can really get this one really quickly, but all of you have been kids in families, so if you can imagine a family in which the kid says, oh, Mom, Dad, I love you so much. I want to grow closer and closer to you. I want to know you. I want to connect with you. I just want to be your kid forever, and I'm so glad I'm in your family, but you know, my brothers and sisters, I would like to not associate with them very much. Would that be okay with you? If it okay if I didn't have to talk at the dinner table and ask the stupid questions you give me? Would it be okay if I don't like, especially this younger one and this old one, I just don't like it, but I really want to connect to you, parent. How'd that work? It wouldn't work. But yet as Christians, we think that can work. I've had people say, I love Jesus, I just don't know about the church. I think, good luck. Because Jesus loves his church. If you want to be like Jesus, you better love his church like he loves his church, which is kind of extreme. I mean it. So, but when you do, it's beautiful. It's not easy. I mean, our flesh tells us, do not become totally dependent on anybody, which is what we're supposed to do with Jesus. And do not keep moving toward interdependence. Become independent, because if you're independent, you can protect yourself from harm, and you're going to have a happier life, and it's a lie. Interdependence. It's radical. Choosing to say, I am not made to be in this stuff by myself. I'm not made to be able to have revelation by myself. I must have a community of believers around me. So I thought we'd just maybe get a little practical in closing up here. I wanted to just, as I thought about getting practical, I thought, I don't know how to say this, and I thought three scriptures just kind of came to my mind. They're scriptures I lean on a lot. Because this is a choice we have to make. Choosing. God doesn't force us into this. We have to choose, are we going to love the family? And not just us, the whole family. Those weird, crazy Christians on TV, the whole package. You know, all the family, other denominations, other people who are brothers in Christ who aren't coming here. That is the church, and we have to decide, how do I love those people? Right? Understanding that if I grow in my love for who I can see, I now can see God. That's a pretty good challenge. And so as we look at that, I just thought of these three scriptures. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. It says, finish up by saying, all the more as you see the day drawing near of Christ coming back. Do it more as it gets closer to the end of time. But this is just addressing what he knows every human wants to do, is quit meeting. Because there's times that it's hard to meet. It's hard to gather. And he's saying, don't do that. In fact, what's hard, the reason it's so hard in America to gather in churches, we think of it through a consumer mindset, and you will always be disappointed when you think of church through a communal mindset until you have a perfect worship team, a perfect teaching, and the perfect nice person sitting beside you. But other than that, it's just not going to work. You have to understand you are looking through a consumer mindset, so you always be disappointed. But when you come in a place that you go into this time, you're saying, I've committed to meet consistently. And I believe small and large, I will continue to keep meeting in small and large groups, because you can go to places in small groups, you just can't with large groups. This is different than a small group. And then the thing about that is that when you go, though, you go thinking intentionally, now how could I bring encouragement to someone? Because this is my family that I want to show love to, and I have an opportunity for that to happen. The second thing I think to understand is, first off, is once we're now, so we're meeting, once we understand that we're going in as participants, not as consumers, the second part is it says, where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. Is that cool? I mean, it means he's with us all the time, right? When I'm sitting out by myself on the deck doing my devotional time, so I think, oh, I wish someone else was here so Jesus could be with me. No, he's with me. What's it saying there? It's saying that when we gather, there's something uniquely happens that happens no other place. God comes in and his presence is right there for us. And so when we get together just for coffee with somebody, or if we get together in a small group, or we hang out for a training class, or we just, you know, are serving or whatever, we got someone right there who's a follower of Jesus and we've gathered together, he's right there and he wants to do something in that moment, no matter if you're in the parking lot or in a service. And the last part is if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If you want your life to be purified and become righteous, and righteous is a good term, not a bad term, not self-righteous, righteous, and as good things start coming out of you, the fruit of the Spirit begins flowing, how do you do that? You walk in the light. This is the hard part. This is why I left it for last, so you wouldn't check out on me, right? If we want to experience the beautiful church, it requires us to live in the light, right? It requires us to be who we really are. Living in light is not acting religious. Living in light is saying, here's who I truly am. Good and bad. I'm letting you in more and more on who I truly am. This is where God works. This is why we always talk in our church about getting real. Community allows us to get to the spot as we build and love each other. We can start opening up places in our life that we couldn't have opened up before. And we can live more and more in the light. And this is something that we will fight till heaven, because when we try to come in the light, there always is a resistance. I don't know. I've had times where I've messed up and sinned, and I know I should tell someone. I mean, and I've been in this a long time, and I just fear rejection. I fear shame. I fear, and I just do it anyway. I confess my sin. I mean, and when I do that, what I experience is Jesus. I experience Jesus and how he sees me. Even when I have things that are going on, God just wants me to tell somebody, I don't know, but if I'm living the light and I just let people in, it just changes everything. Um, Like, as I'm talking right now, some of you are like, yes, I'm heading this direction. I can feel this. I'm already doing this. I want to keep doing this more. I'm on the right track. Some of you are thinking, you instantly are feeling things in your life that you've never opened up to anybody. And it's just like right in your face right now. I'm just saying that's normal. And it starts getting so complicated. It's not complicated. This is the simplest, that verse in John, 1 John, is the simplest, hardest verse in the Bible, in my opinion, sometimes. Walking in the light. Just being yourself. And seeing if Jesus loves you or not. Seeing if his church loves you or not. It's hard. And all I'd say is, he's gracious. He doesn't shove you off a cliff. Find somebody who you think will not reject you, your best chance, and just say, this is where I am. Maybe you don't even know what you believe about Jesus. Put it in the light. These are the things going on inside you. I've never told anybody. Put it in the light. And God will come in every time. Now, and when this happens, it is just beautiful. I can say that clearly from Scripture. I think all of us could say that from Scripture. But I'm telling you, I've had 47 years of crazy church. And I'm telling you, it is beautiful. It is so good. I was just going through my journal and I'm thinking, I cannot believe how many times I experienced God. I look through. This is one good thing about getting old. I numbered one time, every time I experienced God that I could would bring to my mind. I stopped at 100. I still have some more to go. I have over 100, and I thought, and there were significant moments. Here's what's really interesting. I looked back and said, how many of those were just me in my prayer time? And some of them were. You know what? Most of them, almost all of them, was with another believer around me or a group of believers around me or at a place I'd gather. You guys know what I'm talking about? Why was it that thing happened at that retreat, at that conference, at this service? It happened because you were here with other believers and Jesus was among you. So let's do it more. Let's not wait. Oh, there's no home groups. I know we suck on home groups right now. I know that. We're not pushing. Find three believers and have them over to your house and worship and pray for each other. You're released, you know. Just start inviting people over. Have a few barbecues, you know. Just figure out a way of gathering and letting God come in, being aware that he's right there. And then be real. Open your life. All right. Horns worship team, come up. I've been preaching a little too hard here. Come on up. And a little long. Let's go with the challenge. Moving yourself towards Jesus. Ask Jesus to help you see the love and love the church and grasp more fully that it's your family. Just start praying that. Show me how you see the church so I can see it the same way. Faithfully meet with your brothers and sisters in both large and small gatherings with the awareness that Jesus is among you. And how do you move others towards Jesus? Whenever you are with other Christians, encourage them. Think about when you come to church, when you come to a small group, how could God use you to bring encouragement? Consider that. And how it is that you can be a safe place for them to be who they really are and tell you how they're really doing.